Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Churches, synagogues, mosques across the country, across the world, really, being put to the test by this coronavirus outbreak. We are joined now by the Reverend Laura Vail Friggin, who is a senior minister at the First Congressional Congregational, that is, Church of Los Angeles. Also, Varun Soni, who is Dean of Religious Life at USC. We'll have some other folks joining us a bit later. We're going to spend some time on this program today talking about religion. Varun, let's start with you. In times of things like this, historically, plagues, that sort of thing, people historically have turned to religion, and I'm wondering if there's any evidence thus far that there might be a surge in spirituality, in interest in religion because of this.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for this important conversation. You're absolutely right. During times of trauma, during times of tragedy, when we feel uncertainty and anxiety in the world, we often turn to community, we turn to faith, we turn to the familiar as a way of sort of navigating all that tension and anxiety. My sense is that now that people are really struggling and thinking about what's next, this does implicate big questions of meaning and purpose. Who are we? What is our responsibility for each other? It implicates moral and ethical issues that I think will inspire people to turn towards faith traditions. The challenge here is that so much of the way congregational worship and religious life happens, at least in the United States, is in person and in community. And so what does it then mean to turn to religion at a time when we're apart, when we're socially isolated, when we're socially distancing, even though we might not be spiritually distancing? I think that's the challenge. And what I anticipate is that those folks who are offering online worship services or mindfulness classes or yoga classes or other kinds of resources that help people think deeply about religion and spirituality during this time of anxiety are going to see an upsurge in the way that people consume that content. And I've talked to pastors and other people who are putting their services online. That's what they're telling me. They're telling me that they are seeing more people join them online than we're even joining them potentially in person.
Well, Reverend Friggin, you can't get together. So how is your congregation doing and what are you doing?
You know, this crisis does offer an opportunity for us to reevaluate what's important to our congregation and what it truly means to be a community of faith. So physical proximity and a sense of place are important aspects of what we do, especially for us with our historic Gothic cathedral in the heart of L.A. But connection and community are really what we've always strived to cultivate at our church. So we're being challenged to create new ways of connecting and engaging our community. And that's turning out to be an incredibly enriching experience for our church and for houses of worship all across the country. Our sanctuary is a very special place, and part of people's sadness is mourning the temporary loss of that and the sacred space that it occupies in their lives. So we have, just as you were just told, seen an uptick in what's happening as far as our virtual experience on Sunday mornings. Many more people than we usually have on a Sunday. We live stream for the first time on March 15th. And about 1,700 people viewed that. That's compared to 250 or 300 on a Sunday morning. So I think we're reaching our congregation and people across the city, across the nation, and surprisingly, even around the world.
Varun, let me do what I did with my first question and dip back again into history, because it's a question that, as you know, has been raised over and over again throughout history in times of calamity, in times of plague, in times certainly of war. Now we've got people who are sick, who are dying all over the world. Where is God?
Ooh. So I think different people will answer that in different ways based on their own traditions and perspectives. The way I see it, and I'm Hindu, we believe that God is within us, that our natures are inherently divine, that the way we find God is to go deep within ourselves, and the way that we see God is to see God in others. So I think many people will probably fall back on their sort of theological perspectives that say that we do the work of God, that God is within us, that God works through us, and that the way we serve God in these very difficult times is by serving each other.
Historically, when there's been crises, whether it's because of war or illness, that sort of thing, often people will raise the question, how do you account for that? Where is God?
We have Reverend Laura Vale Fragan still with us, senior minister at the First Congregational Church of Los Angeles. Also now Rabbi Stuart Federow leads Congregation Shar HaShalom in Houston, Texas. Reverend, that question to you first.
I really think that I see God these days in love and action. I think that is one of the greatest things that you see occurring both in our local congregations and in congregations across, for us, the city of Los Angeles. The isolation that is happening to people and that social distancing is making it especially important for us to care for our older members and at-risk congregants. So this love in action is helping this community of faith grow deeper, you know, whether it's an email, a video, check-in, a phone call, or food deliveries. You have to now be shifting and accelerating your personal outreach efforts to make sure that people are feeling God and seeing God through love in action.
Rabbi, the same question to you. For someone whose family may be having a member who is either hospitalized and suffering with a more severe version of this or even passed away, and who comes to you as a man of religion and says, Rabbi, how do you explain that to me? Where's the justification for this? Where is this in the grand scheme of things? Your answer is?
My answer comes directly from the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, where we are told the race is not always won by the fastest, the battle is not always won by the strongest. Men of understanding are not always the wealthiest. It goes on to say that time and chance happens to us all. We don't have to blame God for what happens to us. We don't have to see what happens to us as some sort of divine punishment or divine will. To the contrary, I think God cries along with us and wants us to understand that God is there for us to get strength, to get past the things that randomly get thrown at us.
Rabbi,
just one more thing. If I punch you in the nose, are you going to come to me for solace and support because you got punched if I'm the one who did it to you?
Yeah, no, we're debating that question.
My point is that if we see God, if we see that God did this, then we're not going to go to God, who is the greatest source of comfort and strength, if we think that God did it to us in the first place. And we don't have to see that God did it to us if time and chance happens to us all.
Yeah. All right. Rabbi, we were talking to the Reverend earlier. She said she's taken to Facebook and broadcasts her message now. How are you handling things for people who can't get connected?
Exactly the same way. Our congregation building is shut. I don't know if you know about Houston, but basically it's do as much as you can in your own house and don't go out if you don't really have to. And so we've had services via GoToMeeting, Skype, Zoom, same kind of thing. We actually Sunday had a Brit Milan baby naming through Zoom. Yeah, I called it IBRIS version 1.0.
Reverend, how do you see this eventually getting back to normal. By that, I mean people again returning to churches, again returning to synagogues. I would suspect that even if we reach this peak, and eventually we will, and it sort of starts to fade down a bit, people are still going to, after this trauma, be very reluctant, some anyway, to want to gather in large settings.
I think this has changed the way we're going to do church going forward. I really do. And, you know, I had been hesitant. My team had been wanting to go to live stream for a long time. And because our sanctuary is so gorgeous and it is such a sense of place for people, I really resisted it. But I think for a long time to come, you know, once we can come back into places like this, into congregations and settings, we will still see people that are going to follow you through live stream, being cautious and wanting to have that experience, but not being ready to be back in that place. I also think, though, that these connections that we're making, I think this increased spirituality is really going to be life-changing for each of us as individuals, for certainly my congregation. And I'm really hopeful it's going to be life-changing for our world at the same time, because we need it desperately.
Rabbi, when you do your internet sessions and you see people logging on and then there's more and then there's more, what's that feel like to know that they're still out there? And yeah, they want to be together, but you can tell if they're taking this step that, boy, they need it.
Oh, they absolutely need it. At times of crisis or trauma or worry, that's when we need the strength of God the most. And I think this is an opportunity. Also, you know, like the Reverend said, we've wanted to go to streaming. We just haven't done it. And this kind of stimulated us to figure out how to do it and start doing it. I think it's an opportunity to reach people in homes that wouldn't come out even before the coronavirus.
It's Rabbi Stuart Federow, leads Congregation Shar HaShalom in Houston, Texas. Also, Reverend Laura Vale Fragan, Senior Minister, First Congregational Church of Los Angeles. Thanks to you both.